I'm Amy Holmes in All Week with John Hockenberry. As we've been reporting all week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Africa. She's visiting 7 different countries in 11 days. She'll be tackling a host of tricky Africa issues. Here with us to discuss the Secretary's trip is Jendai Fraser, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs under George Bush and currently a professor at Carnegie Mellon University. She joins us from WDUQ in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Amy.
So, real quick, top line agenda items. What does the administration hope to accomplish?
Well, this is Secretary Clinton's first trip to Africa, and it's important because she's going to the strategic partners of the United States. Kenya, South Africa, and Nigeria are very important to our achieving our goals across the continent as a whole because they are regional powers. Angola is a major energy producer. Liberia is a country that has a first woman president. And Cape Verde has been an extremely good performing country, so represents the type of policies that President Obama was talking about when he visited Ghana earlier this year.
So let's talk about those trade and economic issues that Hillary will be addressing. There's talk that motivation for this trip, some motivation, has to do with beating China to the punch for those strategic mineral and other resources that are rich in Africa. Is that what we're seeing here, the fight over Africa?
Well, no, I don't think so. The United States is the leading, as a single country, the leading trade partner with sub-Saharan Africa as a whole. We do about $100 billion in two-way trade with the continent. China is the fastest-growing partner. So I don't think that there's a competition over economic resources or mineral resources on the continent. The European Union is the biggest trader as a bloc of countries. What we do see, though, is a difference in how China goes about doing its business in Africa versus the United States. We put an emphasis over on stability, on good governance, on economic development. China is very much trying to use Africa's minerals to fuel its own economic development at home, to fuel its own economy. And therefore, there's questions about transparency and accountability that we have a difference of view with China.
Let's talk about that. Hillary Clinton, while she was in Africa, she had this to say about those very issues.
Africa is capable and is making economic progress. In fact, one doesn't have to look far to see that Africa is ripe with opportunities, some already realized and others waiting to be seized together.
And what she was talking about there is that with the building of democratic institutions, transparency, and, you know, frankly, honesty in African governments, that they could better exploit their economic resources. But what about human rights? Is that going to be front and center on this trip?
Well, it certainly will be, especially, I think, when she goes to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has been a country that's been in significant crisis and turmoil since the mid-1990s, I mean, actually longer than that, but it's been in a major war since 1998 that was ended in 2003. But nevertheless, there are still rebel groups operating in eastern Congo, which Secretary Clinton will actually go to, who are terrorizing the population, as well as a government that doesn't have complete control over its own military, who are also responsible for violence against women and girls. And so I think that clearly she will have to address the human rights issues when she goes to that war zone.
I want to bring in Martin Plaut, BBC Africa editor. He's joining us from BBC Studios in London, and he covers Somalia closely. Hillary Clinton's first stop is to be talking about the Somalia situation. What does she hope to accomplish?
Well, she's going to be speaking to President Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed. And, you know, his government is, frankly, teetering on the edge of collapse. They are surrounded in the capital, Mogadishu, by al-Shabaab, which is a hardline Islamist group. And the south of the country is, frankly, run by al-Shabaab now. The question is, can the United States assist the African Union in providing the troops that are needed to keep the transitional government in place? The U.S. has no intention, I think, of putting troops on the ground, but they've certainly been helping with airlift capacity. There's been some suggestions of weapon supplies as well. But the problem is that the troops there are very few in number, and other African states haven't really come to the rescue. Now, the Americans have been doing a lot to try and twist arms and get African troops from places like Nigeria, Sierra Leone to come in and help. But so far, there's been not much response.
Well, you raise an interesting point, which is that the United States is working with the African Union. Does that mean that they're not working with the Somali interim government directly?
Oh, no, no, they are working with the Somali government. I mean, there's something of a slightly odd situation in as much as, you know, the people that are in power now in Mogadishu were exactly the same people who were kicked out by the Ethiopians a few years ago. And, in fact, Jendiah Frazier was one of those who was not so opposed to that kicking out, but now they're working with them. It's a slightly odd situation, but they're having to make allies where they can.
What about that, Ms. Frazier? Of course, I want to give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, that's a bit of an overstatement. The Islamic Courts Union that he's talking about actually divided, and Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed was considered one of the more moderate elements of that Islamic Courts Union, whereas the al-Shabaab, who are the ones who are fighting his government, were the more radical extremists within that al-Shabaab, within the Islamic Courts Union. So there has been many divisions upon divisions within Somalia. And so it's not true that the Ethiopians kicked out the moderate elements. It's that the Ethiopians had to fight the radical elements, and Sheikh Sharif Sheikh Ahmed himself, the United States, helped get out of that situation when he was in southern Somalia. We brought him into Kenya so that he could separate himself from these Islamists who, in fact, have ties to al-Qaeda.
Well, all of this raises the persistent issue of the tension between building democratic institutions and trying to pursue these democratic ideals versus working with the people that you have to work with. Do you think that Obama is reconciling these two imperatives?
Well, I think that he certainly has to bring some pragmatism to the rhetoric that he had in Ghana. And that is, you can't simply say to African leaders and to African countries, forget your history, pick yourselves up essentially by your bootstraps. Obviously, it's an important message of self-empowerment. But these countries like Kenya, which do have domestic problems, also are critical allies in our effort to deal with what is really a vital national security threat in Somalia. And so we have to have a balanced approach, just like he has throughout the rest of the world. When he talks to the Russians, he doesn't lead with an agenda of corruption and human rights and, you know, poor governance, which we all see in Russia. That has to be part of the agenda, but it can't be the sole aspect of the relationship. And that's the same in Africa as well.
Well, Jendai, we appreciate you joining us. That was Jendai Frazier, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs, the top Africa diplomat under President George W. Bush. We were also joined by Martin Plaut, BBC Africa editor from London.